about that time that the studies were being made on transmission between Arlington, Virginia, the Navy station, and Europe, and also to Hawaii.
A little year or two later, yeah.
That was what, 1914?
1914. The significant thing about 1914 was that we began to experiment with the high vacuum tube as a nozzle here in the transmitter for carrier current, or wire.
Or wire.
High frequency wire transfer.
Yes.
And to explore that situation, one of our new recruits, namely Heising, Raymond Heising, taken on in 1914, he was put to work to see what could be done with the vacuum tube as a transmitter and a receiver and circuits for high-frequency transmission over wires. This was the beginning of our carrier work. Heising carried out that work, and it was very promising, 1914. Just in breadboard models in the laboratory. By that time, it became apparent that with higher power tubes, we could apply the same technique to wireless telephony. And the scene then shifted, beginning in 1915, to experiments in radio telephony, using the high vacuum tube as a power tube devices for transmitting, as well as, of course, the other vacuum tubes for receiving. I began to take part in that work with left the AT&T and went out to Montauk Point, took charge of the building of a small station out there. The first radio telephone station of the Bell system, experimental only. And I also went down the coast as far as Virginia, looking for a receiving site to go with this transmitting site at Montauk. We wanted to transmit over water because this was long wave ground transmission, you might say. That experiment succeeded. In April, I remember well, it was Easter Sunday, 1915. A delegation of Graf Hats showed up in Montauk Point in New York to witness the first transmission of speech by a wireless for the Bell system, headed by John J. Carty. With Professor Millikan and Jewett and the rest of them. And on the morning that this experiment was to take place, we got up and looked out. The whole place was a mass of snow and ice. The hills, the bare hills of Montauk, were glazed with snow and ice. And when we fellows that were supposed to get start up the machinery got out to the station from the little hotel, the antenna was down. The ship supporting the antenna had frozen, and the tension had broken, the hatches had broken, oh my. What to do? I climbed one of the towers. These were steel towers put in by the tractor.
How high were they?
160 odd feet.
You went all the way up to.
I went up one of them, and
a
New York telephone
feet.
Company man went up to the other one. We got the darn thing working within a few hours. Sure enough, the experiment was a success. These Brass Hat boys talked from there to Wilmington, Delaware. The place we had picked for receiving was the top of the DuPont building in Wilmington, Delaware. I had spied that place as a likely candidate, little knowing that the elevators in the building would raise havoc with the reception, right? Because of the spark transmitting of the contacts. Well, anyway, the reception was good, and I could talk back by wire. And that Sunday ended happily, fortunately.